Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Office of the Montana Secretary of State's latest podcast here from inside the Capitol, Helena, Montana. Richie Melby here, joined by Austin Lindsay, the Information Security Analyst here for the office. In October, Cybersecurity Awareness Month, which of course fit right into your neck of the woods, and you and I chatted about that, found some resources and stuff, and if you follow Secretary Jacobson on social media at all, we shared a bunch of resources. CISA provided a bunch of resources. We'll talk about some of that. But October is the month, but really this should probably be something people are worried about all year long, right?
Of course, of course. And particularly during holidays, that's when hackers know that people are out of the office, might not be paying attention, and that's when they can try to do some bad stuff and try to get away with it. So
some of them are so simple. Facebook, you see all the time on social media, you get those messages from somebody that has something that you know they didn't write, and you know they clicked a link that they shouldn't have somewhere. And then there's the other ones that come to your email, the phishing things that come to your email. And then there's the big ones that you're talking about, like the holiday scams, or there's stories in the news anymore about people calling your grandparents and trying to pretend that poor Austin's been kidnapped and they need to provide a ransom. So, I mean, it's pretty ridiculous what's out there. And so trying to be prepared for just all of those situations is pretty important here in 2021, heading into 2022.
Right, absolutely. And ransomware is trending. Every day, more and more companies are getting hit with ransomware. Everything locks down and it can be pretty scary for small agencies or businesses. But there is a process to try to identify it, and that process needs to be adopted more, because last time I looked across the nation, the average time for a business to notice that somebody was in their system, a hacker was in their system, was over 280 days.
Almost a full year at that point. I mean, you're over half a year by the time that they even notice anything has happened. And at that point, could probably be too late, right?
Right.
They've moved on and there's no breadcrumbs or trail or anything to find out what even happened.
Right. So it's part of the process of security is trying to figure out what can you do to detect and identify when somebody's in your system, and how to respond to that quicker than average.
Let's talk about some of the things, because here at the Secretary of State's office, we register businesses, we renew businesses' annual reports and such. Whether it's a brand new business that's thinking about getting started, or whether it's one of our centennial businesses that we have in Montana, being prepared and maybe putting some different things in place is pretty important. If there was a 10-step process, whatever that might be, of just things to start thinking about and then start getting implemented, what would some of those resources and suggestions be?
Right, so I think the first place to start would be to do an assessment, a security assessment or a risk assessment. And that will walk you through certain steps, and you can evaluate yourself on how well your business is doing on each of those steps. And you kind of do that each year. And what's really great about doing this is that doing assessments can give you a roadmap of where to improve. And so there's lots of different assessments, but some of the best ones are based off of NIST, National Institute for Standards and Technology. They've come out with best practice for every organization on what to do. And there's typically five pillars that it'll go through. So first step is identifying what you even have, identifying what computers are around, identifying what information you store, if that's critical information, if that's PII or identifiable information about your customers. And then once you have identified it, then you can start protecting it by saying, oh, these are certain amount of controls that you can implement to help prevent PII to being accessible to hackers, and then monitoring those controls, making sure that they are working properly. And if they're not, then you respond once someone's in there and recover. So those are kind of the five main things, but you start with identifying what you have and assigning some controls to those.
One of the things that you mentioned there that people may not think about is you're a business, they're not just after your business. All that customer information, like you talked about, because you're saving in some of the different information about your customers. They may have their banking or, you know, some kind of account information that's in there. So I think one of the things that maybe gets lost to the outside is, you know, this small business got hacked or whatever it is and stuff, but it's a lot more than just that small business that's affected. And, you know, we've seen this with some of the bigger businesses across the globe, really, where, hey, if you're a customer of this, just letting you know that people have been in and may have access to some of your information, change your password, stuff like that. Like, it goes well beyond just that initial business that got hacked into or that became a victim of one of these cybersecurity crimes.
Right, right. And it can damage your reputation if you're that business, because in certain cases, you're going to have to report that out to your customer basis and be like, yeah, I got breached and some hacker has your information because I didn't handle your credit card information very well, or hospitals, your medical information. And one thing that people don't really, or people need to start thinking about more, is that smaller businesses might outsource a lot of their tasks to other companies, whether that's using a software that'll do that or a third party. And we see with SolarWinds was a third party that would help monitor and detect threats, and was kind of a security third party. But and it's okay to have a third party, but once you do, you are still liable for that third party if they were breached. And so what would happen was SolarWinds was breached, and then that means you are also breached and you have to report that. And so you can do all these steps to try to help secure yourself, but then you also have to ask serious questions with your vendors and evaluate your vendors to determine if they're also doing the same steps like you are. You know, if you outsource it, it doesn't just go away.
Anybody that you're doing business with essentially is somebody that you've got to vet before you do that. If you're a business owner, big, small, whatever it might be, you might just be an individual. It sounds daunting when you're talking about these things that you have to implement, starting with step number one and looking at your assessment and everything, and then going all the way through. What are the recommendations for good resources that they may look at? Not everybody's got an Austin Lindsay on staff where they can kind of plan this out for you, especially those real small businesses that are just getting started. Yeah, we've got a list of resources here that we've come up with, and you mentioned NIST and obviously some of those other ones, but especially in Montana, there's different places out there that people can reach to for help to make sure that they are doing the proper steps to protect themselves and their customers.
Right, right. So I do recommend reaching out to a company that can perform a NIST assessment, because then it's independent. If you just have your IT department do an assessment, they're going to be, you know, inclined to say that they're doing it really well. And so you have an independent expert come in and they can actually help you. If you don't understand all the questions in a framework like the NIST framework, they can walk you through that. And so there are some in Montana. AZTS offers security assessments that are NIST-based. They're a good one. There's a new one called the Digital Investigation Group, or the Cyber DIG, and they're actually a deviation from DIS, which is a common IT provider. I know that CompuNet does some security assessments. Morrison Merrily has an IT systems company, and they can also do risk assessments, as well as High Point Networks. And so you can reach out to any of those and if they're in your area. Or if you're a government agency, there are like CISA is a great resource. CISA can do threat intelligence reports, but they can also do assessments. And so just reaching out to them, they can guide you and figure out which framework is best for you and which assessment, then they can also come in and perform those type assessments. And once you have that, that'll be a good roadmap to figure out where you need to go from there.
You mentioned CISA being the government agency that we are. We chatted with them and they worked with the government agencies all across the country. Their kind of motto for October was "Do your part, be cyber smart," which was kind of cool. And they kind of broke it down week by week throughout October and cybersecurity awareness. You know, be cyber smart was week one. Fight the fish for phishing was week two. explore, experience, and share was week three, and then they called it cybersecurity first in week four. Some of these things are obvious to people. Like we've mentioned a couple of things that could happen, and it seems like they're changing all the time and people are getting smarter out there and they're finding new ways to do things. Is there anything that people should be really alert? You mentioned the holiday specifically, and that's kind of where I'm going. Alert as we head into the holidays here.
Right. So one of the biggest trends is phishing, and it's becoming worse and worse. And that's one thing that you have to keep reminding people throughout the year, whether it's October or any other month, is to keep a lookout for phishing. And as we go into holiday seasons, there'll be more holiday-inspired phishing. But also this year, there was a lot of trends for COVID vaccines. Email that says click here or download this to get COVID vaccine information or to sign up for COVID vaccine. And so a lot of times spoofers try to pretend that they're something that's trendy. And so keeping a lookout for that. Now, if you're a government agency and you're registered with MSISAC, EISAC, or CISA, they can send you a lot of trending information. A lot of times they'll send an email that says, hey, we're seeing this type of fish happen all over the place. And so then you can keep a lookout by informing your employees about that.
In terms of, I mean, you mentioned some of the local options and stuff like that, but if people just want to learn more about it maybe too before they even dive deep into this, is there anything in particular that they should be searching for or really getting familiar with, I guess?
Right, so CISA website has a lot of information that's useful to learn from and to train your employees on. They have a lot of information about phishing, about different frameworks, security in general, as well as NIST. I mean, NIST frameworks are public information, so you can look them up. They can be tedious to read, but NIST offers a lot of different guidance, as well as Center for Internet Security, CIS, has a lot of controls. And their guidance is tailored towards what industry you're in too. So if you're a small business, or if you're healthcare, or if you're working at elections, they have handbooks and resources to familiarize yourself with this crazy world of security.
You mentioned tedious to read. There's certainly a lot to it. There's no doubt about it. But people get that mindset of, won't happen to me. Small business in Lincoln, Montana. Small business in Glendive, Montana. You know, whatever it is. Boy, that's not the case. And people find out the hard way sometimes because they don't do that quote unquote tedious research that you're talking about. Just familiarize yourself with some of this stuff, like you're saying. And if it's not implemented in your business or government agency, like you said, big like this, elections is obviously a huge talking point when it comes to cybersecurity. Really just need to be aware and be prepared.
Right. And unfortunately, that is a myth that only big companies are targets, because hackers are pretty lazy. They go to whoever doesn't have very good security controls. And so it's actually the small businesses that get hit a lot. In fact, like North Dakota was the number one state for ransomware last year, because organizations and businesses in North Dakota weren't as big, didn't have a big security team or even took a look at it and tried to implement some controls. And so they were hit the most. And phishing, a lot of times, is sent out to anybody, and whoever clicks on it is who's going to get in trouble. So every business, it doesn't matter how big you are, you need to focus on it. And it's something like, it's a little over 70% of businesses who experience a breach, they go out of business, because the damage to reputation, potential fines if you deal with like healthcare information or PII, you can get investigated and have fines involved with that, and or just the damage to reputation can bring you under.
Any other tips, suggestions, resources, anything else people need to know about? I mean, we could literally go on for hours probably about this and diving into each one of these, but for people that are listening out there to really try and take something away from this, even if they're already experienced with it, there's certainly more that people can learn about it too.
Right, so my top two places to start is security awareness training for your employees. Phishing is a real issue. You can do simulated phishing attacks through your email, make it look like a phishing email, see how many people click on it, and then help those people identify what phishing looks like. That's pretty important. And then get a low-level security assessment done that can help you figure out where your gaps are, figure out what you can go from there. Those two are big. And if you have something like security insurance, a lot of times those security insurances they will have requirements that you need to do, either to get a discount or to get coverage at all. And some of those requirements are doing security awareness training or getting an assessment done. So those are two good places to start.
Perfect. A lot of great information there. Like you mentioned, CIS is a great place to start. You mentioned some of the local ones in Montana. A lot of great links out there. The other question that's on everybody's mind, can you stop the spam calls too? Like my auto insurance has been due for however, my student loans are on when they're trying to consolidate all those. No?
Tricky for sure. There's some apps out there for phones that try to identify if a number is fraudulent and then block those. Sometimes you can end up blocking everything, depending on how you can configure those. iPhones have a kind of a cool feature in which you can silence all unknown calls that are not in your contacts list. I do that, so if I don't have you in the contact list, I might not answer unless you leave a voicemail.
Leave a voicemail if it's important, right? You'll send a text as a follow-up or you'll leave a voicemail if it's important. Perfect. Appreciate it very much. Again, October was Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but really all year round around that calendar, making sure that your business, your organization, and yourself are protected.